You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Subscribe to Inclusion Revolution Radio, wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you make a radio ad for an 8K TV that conveys the feeling of 33 million pixels with over a billion shades of color hitting your eyeballs? This is the best we can do. Samsung Neo QLED 8K. Unreasonably good.
This is Stacking the Box with NFL insider Matt Berteram and Mark Carman. The deal is in. This is Stacking the Box. Matt Berteram, Mark Carman with you. We are recording on Wednesday, March the next. Make that Tuesday, March the 9th. Thank you very much. I know day of the week. Berteram, Dak Prescott got his money from the Cowboys. Were you surprised that they finally came together? Four-year deal, $160 million, max value, $164 million, guarantees of $126 million. Dak and the Cowboys and that story and tagging is over. Reaction?
I'm not surprised at all, and I have proof of it, because a couple hours before that deal went down, I did a bonus episode with Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football and 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt. He does a podcast over on the Ringer Network. And it was really interesting. Like, Kyle and I chatted for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And I actually asked him, if the Cowboys were to sign Dak Prescott for an annual value of $40 million, do you think they would be able to compete? And he said, they will never win a Super Bowl if they do that. Well, about 4 to 5 hours later, Dak Prescott signed for $40 million. Now, I also wrote on Monday morning in the Stack in the Box column extensively about Prescott, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen, because they're all intertwined, and we'll get to that in a second. Here's what I wrote. Prescott, 27, or excuse me, I'll start actually here. Of course, circling back to quarterbacks being paid, the one exception has been Prescott. After tagging him once and likely doing it again within the next few days, the Cowboys have a choice to make, either get committed or divorce. Prescott has won a division title in a playoff game. He's thrown for 4,900 yards and 30 touchdowns in a season. He's a hard worker by all accounts, so on and so forth. And yet Dallas has not signed him. If the Cowboys trade Prescott, it could set off a chain reaction around the league. But ultimately, smart money is always on quarterbacks being paid. So they essentially had the tag in place for Dak as a safety precaution to make sure that they didn't lose him in free agency as they worked to sign him. It was the witching hour for them. If they didn't sign him long-term, $37 million on the tag was going to become very problematic as they went toward free agency. Not saying they couldn't have done it. They would have done it, but they would have had to restructure guys, cut guys, whatever. Now they don't have to, because his cap hit this year is $22.5 million. So the Cowboys are okay in terms of cap. And now they have their quarterback for the next 4 years. Do I think he in a bubble is worth $40 million? No. Do I think that's his value? Yes, because that's the way the world works in the NFL with quarterbacks.
You buried the lead. Were you on 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, or did you bring it?
No, he was on Stack in the Box yesterday.
Oh, okay. So you brought him on and did his 10 questions?
No.
You didn't do that either. Okay, no. So you're just talking about 10 questions.
You never literally mind. Just host a podcast called 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, but I had him on.
I thought you
and we
did
talked
10
about
questions.
MTV, and we talked about football, most things football, Deshaun Watson and Prescott and Russell Wilson, everybody else. So no, he was on talking about that. We wrote a whole article on it as well as on Fanside Con. Look alive.
There's a lot to follow in this world. Congratulations. Great get. Love it. Good job. The big thing that you mentioned a lot there with Dak, and they did a nice job as far as creating some flexibility this year that they would not have had, by the way, if they had tagged him this year. It would have been huge problems. But what's interesting from a Dak perspective, a lot more pressure on you now, my friend. Maybe not pressure, but it doesn't get easier for you now that you have your money, because maybe, you know, there's some flexibility this year, but down the line, it's going to be harder and harder to build a team around you. So here's a guy who's, you know, hasn't won a Super Bowl, trying to get the Cowboys over the top, has won one playoff game, and it's going to get harder now that he just got paid.
Yeah. Look, they're not going to be in a very good spot in the sense that they paid Zeke a fortune, which was dumb. Kyle Brandt talked about that yesterday as well, and I totally agree with him. It's the worst contract in football. It's an atrocious contract. And so they overpaid him, and they paid him too early. Now you're in this situation where, look, Dak, I think the Cowboys were right to sign him and give him $40 million a year. And I don't think Dak is a top five quarterback. So I know there are people out there who say, well, how could you say both of those things at once? But if you're going to have a good quarterback in this league, you pay based off of what other guys have been paid recently. He was always going to get $40 million. And so I don't blame Dallas for doing it. I think what the mistake that
Snack for good with Ohio Made all natural, super tender Charkey Jerky Company beef jerky, now featuring Killian's Vintage with limited edition packaging designed by 12-year-old Killian, avid golfer and patient champion, Nationwide Children's Hospital. Now available at select Giant Eagle locations, at the Memorial Tournament presented by Workday May 30th through June 4th, and online at www.charkeyjerky.com. Proceeds of Killian's Vintage benefit Nationwide Children's Hospital and kids like Killian.
Cowboys made is they should have signed him earlier. They should have signed him a year or two ago when they could have gotten him for $30 to $33 million a year, right around when Wentz and Goff signed. They could have paid him that. Then Mahomes signed and Watson signed and everything went bonkers. And so the Cowboys screwed that up. That being said, they right the wrong at a higher price. And now you move forward. Look, it's like when you could buy a house in an area that's kind of up and coming and it's maybe $300,000, but the area still needs work, and you don't do it. And then 2 years later, you really need to move. You have no choice, and you got to move to that neighborhood. Now the house is $500,000. You waited. You took a gamble, and the Cowboys lost, but they do keep their quarterback. But I do think it's a struggle for them to win, considering all their other big cap hits.
It's like Bitcoin. You could have bought it at 3,000. You were worried it was going to go to zero. Then it got to 9,000. Like, I should get in at 9. You know what? This is crazy. I can't do 9. Oh my God, it's at 22. I can't do it. Now it's at 50, and maybe it's even going to 200. Right. Hey, listen, they had to do it. They finally move forward. What does this mean for Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson? It means good things for Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. It just ticked up just a little bit, but they didn't come anywhere close to the Patrick Mahomes $500 million deal. So that remains an outlier, but it does mean more guaranteed money, you would think, for Allen and Lamar Jackson down the line. Does it not? Am I missing anything?
Well, so now this is where I think it is really interesting. So he gets $40 million a year. Okay. $126 million guaranteed, $125 million guaranteed.
126.
126. Okay. Thank you. So Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and Lamar Jackson are all due, or not due, but eligible for extensions for the first time this year because they've played 3 years in the league. Now, they're all first-round picks, so they're all under control. Fourth year and then a fifth-year team option. So this year and next, and then, of course, you could tag them and so on and so forth. I take Baker out of this because Baker's not on the level of either of the other two guys. He's just not. He's a good player. He's fine. I think he should basically get paid like Ryan Tannehill. He'll probably get like $35 million at some point, and it's going to be an overpay, but it is what it is. Jackson is the fascinating one to me. He is, and this is how agents work. So if anyone out there, this is how this negotiation is going to go. His representation, which right now, by the way, is his mother. He does not have a full-blown normal, you know, a Todd France, a Lee Steinberg representing him. It's been his family. But the representation he has is going to go in there and say, He won a unanimous MVP. He is 4 years younger than Dak Prescott. They have the same amount of playoff wins. He's made the playoffs every year of his career. He has two division titles. Dak has one. His record for guys who have played and started at least 30 games is the best by win percentage in NFL history. He's going to want $45 million. He's not going to get Mahomes' money because nobody's getting Mahomes' money. Mahomes is on his own level, okay? He is going to want around $45 million a year. Now, will the Ravens give him that? That is a very fascinating question, because if the Ravens come back and say anything less than 40, it's insulting. It's insulting. So that becomes fascinating. Allen, to me, he's going to get more than Dak. Okay. He's won more playoff games, won a division. He's been to the playoffs the last couple of years. He was second team all pro this year. He's been a monster in Buffalo, at least last year anyway. It was a revelation for him. I would be shocked if Allen doesn't get paid. I don't know what's going to happen with Jackson. And I think it is the most fascinating subplot of the offseason now that Dak's taken care of. Guys, thank you for listening, but this is an important message. Support for Stacking the Box is now being brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming company. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. And we have an exclusive offer for my listeners, 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. That is 20% off and free shipping. You cannot beat it. So go over to manscaped.com, check out all their latest stuff, including the Lawnmower 3.0, what's the perfect package? Check it out. It's a can't miss. Manscaped, something if you're a man, you need to be aware of. Again, go to manscaped.com, and for the code, it's FANSIDED20.
Yeah, I don't think the Ravens are doing anything other than paying Lamar. So, and listen, if I'm Lamar and I'm Josh Allen, to your point here, not that they couldn't afford it before, because clearly they could and they can afford it 17,000 times over. But go have yourself a nice dinner tonight. Little toast. All right, sweet. I know I'm in the 40s at bare minimum here, which right. I just think do we ever actually sit back for a second and think about how much damn money that is? Like we hear all the time, well, he's got to take care of his family. He's got to take care of his family. $40 million in 1 year is completely and utter insane money. And I get it that they live very large, and I'm not begrudging any money that an athlete or entertainer or whoever makes. Perhaps CEO is a little bit different, but for somebody who we all pay to watch and sit there in front of the TV and we buy the products, I get it. And it's the hardest country club to get into. But I also feel like we kind of miss, like, it's so much incredible money that these guys are making. It's amazing how much dollars are floating around the NFL today, because we love football so much, and not just the NFL, obviously any professional sport really.
Well, it's an absurd amount of money, but I think, you know, the leagues are all headed this way. We're seeing this now. Like, if you're a superstar in any of these sports, save hockey, okay? Hockey, the salaries have not exploded in the same way. But in baseball, you're a starting pitcher who's an ace-like pitcher. You're going to get $30+ million a year, okay? And in baseball, you're going to get signed for 10 years, all right? Basketball, there are guys making the max now that a casual fan would be hard-pressed to even tell you what team they're on.
Right.
I mean, there are guys literally in basketball making $40 million a year. You're like, who? What? I mean, the guy has one good year, and it's you know, hey, let's give him the max. And then after that, hey, let's give him the super max. It's the same.
It's worse in the NFL. You got offensive linemen making that money. That no one has ever paid $1 to see an offensive lineman do anything ever in the history of the game.
Right, no. But they protect the guy who everybody comes to see. Right. And so that's why it happened. Then edge rushers get paid that kind of money because they're going after the guy. So it all factors in, which is why we're seeing corners get paid and receivers get paid. Look, that being said, I do think it becomes an interesting question of at what point here do quarterbacks, does the market start to flatten a little bit? Because, I agree. I think that's kind of my answer, right? Like, I don't think it ever does, as long as the cap keeps going up. Look, the one thing people have to keep in mind, and we'll move on here. It's all tied. I shouldn't say it's not legally or officially tied or anything to the cap, but these contracts are commensurate to the percentage of the cap that they take up. So it's always like 17-18% for these top tier quarterbacks, right? Even though the money's going up, the cap is going up with it. And so you're always having this push pull. If the cap were to stagnate, and for more than just a weird COVID thing, I mean like an actual stagnation, then you would see the money start to stagnate. But as long as the cap keeps going up, I would be willing to bet that within the next 15 years, there's a quarterback who's making $100 million a year.
Sure.
Yeah, I know that sounds insane, but it's going to happen.
I would not bet against it at all as guys continue to raise the bar and get better. Whatever, more efficient. The money continues to pour in. The gambling space is going to be enormous for every single professional sporting entity. They'll always figure out ways to make more money. And we as fans, we just don't draw the line. We keep paying more for tickets. We keep watching. We keep doing all of it. So, the salaries are going to continue.
That is really the and I don't care if this comes off as an old man thing. I really do feel this way. That's the thing I kind of is just like from a fan's perspective worry about is the money is getting so nuts to attend the game. And I get it. Look, people pay the money. Teams want to raise prices. I get all that. I think it's a shame, though, for the average family of four. Like, you just can't go to a game. I mean, it's just the prices are so and look, a lot of that, we don't have to get into that on this show because it's a football show. A lot of that is because the standard wage in this country is not raised the way it should have raised over the last 30 years. But you know, you want to go to a game. Like, if I wanted to go to a football game with my wife, my daughter, let's even say three of us. I mean, it's if we're sitting in the upper deck, it's going to cost with parking, if it's $350, $400 for three of us to go to that game.
That's correct. If you're going to Soldier Field. Now, if you were going to a game in Arrowhead and you were sitting up top, you probably could do it.
Oh, not anymore.
Well, okay.
Aw, you didn't have to go so all out for my birthday?
Yes, we did. Because birthdays are about showing your friends how much you care for them and how grateful you are for their... This is Jamie from Progressive. No, this is a great time. Progressive protects you 24/7. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry that happened.
Jamie.
Can you hold on 1 second? I gotta take this call, but remember, birthdays are about togetherness.
Contact us 24/7 on the phone, online, or on the mobile app. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Covered subject to policy terms.
Not anymore. Fine.
If you were going to see Carolina or Tampa,
right.
Or
sure, maybe you're getting $50 a pop, whatever. But I mean, I went to Arrowhead a few years ago, and decided to just go as a fan. I went with my wife. I said, you know what? I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the game like I would have before I started getting into this business. We sat in the upper deck. It was $100. We were way up there. I mean, I just wanted to go and enjoy the game. And it was Mahomes' MVP year. Tickets now are astronomical. I mean, you look at second market tickets. I mean, they're $500-$600 to sit in the upper deck in some of these areas. I mean, it's crazy the amount of money. But you're right. Look, as long as people pay it, teams are going to charge it. And I don't blame them. It's a business. I get it. But I feel bad for the family that just is priced out of season tickets now. That's priced out of even a single game ticket. The park at Yankee Stadium, it's $100.
Yeah, don't drive to Yankee Stadium.
It's insane.
You take
it's
the
insane.
Train. The cheapest seats in the NFL right now by average ticket price, it's not the cheapest seat, is $75 for Buffalo. That's average. So that in fact is in the best seats in the house and the worst. Bills, Chargers, Bengals, Jaguars, Browns, Dolphins are the bottom. The top is the Raiders, the Niners, the Patriots, the Packers, the Eagles, the Bears. I said the Texans, but they're actually, what is that, number 7 in the league? Seattle, the Giants, the Steelers. I said Carolina, and they're towards the top too. Kansas City is up to 94, but still closer to the bottom than the top. The Chiefs.
Yeah, give it time.
So, all right, let's move along here as we and by the way, baseball by far is the best value for your sports dollar. Hands down, not even close. NHL tickets are expensive. NBA is expensive. Baseball, you can still, like White Sox, $5 a ticket on Sunday to sit up top. $5. So just for the record. All right. So free agency starts on Monday. some movement obviously happening here, and we're talking about Dak, who was going to be tagged and whatnot. But what are you most interested in for him? I'm looking at the pass rushers. Like, who? Leonard Floyd had a huge year last year for the Rams. I still think he sucks. If he's not playing with Aaron Donald, he's a very average player. He just got huge, huge benefit being on that team. Trey Hendrickson's an interesting name to me.
Yep.
from the Saints, who I think is and Bud Dupree. There's a lot of guys that are going to get paid here, and it's very hard to predict those guys going into a new team what their impact will be.
Well, since we've been on the show, it came out that the Lions are not going to tag Kenny Golladay. So with Godwin getting tagged and the weight continuing on Allen Robinson here, as I assume he gets tagged, but who knows, as we are, as we record this about 4 hours from the tag deadline, in fact, 3 hours from the tag deadline. Look, Golladay is all of a sudden the premier receiver on the market. Should Robinson get tagged? That's interesting. He's going to have a bevy of suitors, but there's a lot of guys in that tier behind him. Corey Davis, Juju Smith-Schuster. I think that, to me, you're right about Edge. Edge is loaded. Wide receivers also loaded. Wide receiver, though, also loaded in the rookie crop. Just not true of edge rushers. Talk some people around the league. And so I think receivers, I think the squeeze is on after Golladay and potentially Robinson. I think the squeeze is on big time. There's great value to be had there. I think the edge guys are going to get paid, at least the top tier ones. I'll give you an edge guy I'm watching, though. I'm fascinated by is Bud Dupree. The Steelers are not going to tag him because they can't afford to tag him. He comes off a torn ACL that he suffered Thanksgiving weekend. But I'll tell you what, before he got hurt, that guy looked like he was going to be approaching, $100 million type money. I mean, he was playing that level of football, certainly at least $80 million plus. I talked to some people around the league, and there's a split opinion. Some people think he's still going to get paid like that. Some people think he's going to have to take a one-year prove-it deal. I don't know what happens with Bud Dupree, but I'll tell you what, he takes a one-year prove-it deal. Some team gets him, and he's healthy. That's the best value of the entire free agency class, in my opinion.
Well, here, let me just read some things to you about Bud Dupree to slightly refute what you're saying.
Oh, you're crazy.
Well, okay. He's coming off the torn ACL. There's one. You would agree that he plays on a very blitz-heavy Steeler defense, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so that helps him, right, you would think. Let's see. Quarterbacks Dupree faced were last year average a sack rate of more than 7% higher than any other qualifying pass rusher, Matt Verderam. Does that do anything for you? His win rate is not great. He's 35th out of 46 pass rushers on his win rate, beating guys to the quarterback. Just throwing it in there.
No, look, that's all good information. My feeling on watching him and talking to people around the league is early on in his career, he struggled. 2 years ago, as in 2019, he was excellent, got tagged. This year is excellent again. The thing I like most about Bud Dupree, can beat you with speed, but he's also got other moves. He's a monster against the run. He's really good on the edge. And I think he's a guy that, and even in a normal non-blitz crazy defense, I think he's a guy who gives you 10 to 12 sacks all day. That is a very valuable player. Look, I'm not trying to make him out like he's J.J. Watt in his prime or anything. But right. Do I think he's as good as DeMarcus Lawrence or Frank Clark or Yannick Ngakoue? Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. In fact, I think Frank Clark's actually a pretty good comparison to him. I think, but Frank Clark's a guy who in a normal year is going to get you about 10 sacks. He's going to play great against the run. He's going to give you those intangibles. He can beat you a couple different ways. I mean, I think that's about what he is. And Frank Clark got 505. Now, Clark didn't have the injury issue that Dupree does. So that's where this comes in. Does Bud Dupree get a big contract? And he's not going to get $100 million now, but is he going to get a big contract? Or is he going to get 1 year and $12 million? He gets that. Some team can look really smart coming off the back end of it.
Where do you think he lands if you had to make a guess?
Oh, God. I honestly don't know. I just think there's going to be so many teams who are in on all these guys. I really do. I mean, there are so many teams that have a need for pass rush. Buffalo is a team I look at. Kansas City is a team that I would look at.
Right.
I mean, there's just so many.
Two-thirds of the league.
Seattle. Yeah. I mean, right. I mean, you know, New England, there's a million teams. Baltimore, if they lose Judon and Ngakoue.
Right. Who's prioritizing what? And to rewind back to where you started with the receivers and Allen Robinson, I mean, it's been widely reported that he is expected to get tagged before the deadline today. I do think that happens. And I think eventually maybe even before the draft. I'm not sure on the deadlines and all this stuff, but I think the Bears and Robinson will work out a long-term deal. Maybe not sooner than later, but certainly before the season starts, whatever that I don't have my NFL calendar in front of me on the deadline dates, but I do think they'll work something out. They like Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson probably comes to his senses too and says, okay,
guys come to their senses real quick and they're offered a lot of money.
Right. That too.
Yeah, that helps. But no, and then lastly, I'll just say this. I do think it's interesting. It's something to watch. The Raiders just absolutely gutting their offensive line here as they try to get under the cap. And now they're under the cap and still making moves. Trent Brown gets traded back to New England, where he was before he went to the Raiders on the big deal. Richie Incognito's cut. Vic DeFore over at The Athletic, who covers the Raiders, says they might re-sign him for a lower cap hit, so follow that. And then Gabe Jackson gets cut. He is gone. So now it's Rodney Hudson at center, Colton Miller at tackle, and a whole lot of questions everywhere else. The Raiders' strength is their offense and, frankly, that offensive line. So reshuffling the deck here is interesting, but I want to make a quick point. This is what happens when you can't draft and you sign a million expensive free agents because you're a kid in a candy store with $10 and you can't figure out what you want. You just take everything. The Raiders under John Gruden have been a mess. And I get it. Like, John Gruden's fun and he's Chucky and they hired Matt. They have sucked out loud the entire time Gruden has been there. They have not had one winning season. They've signed guys to fortunes. They just cut LaMarcus Joyner, another Gruden signing, who was awful. Nick Kwiatkowski, who they brought in from the Bears last year, he did not play a full season last year and was not impressive when he played. Corey Littleton had issues last year, and some of that revolving around COVID, give the man a break there. But when he played, was not overly impressive. I would defy anybody. Aguilar's the one signing they had that was really good. Now he's going to hit free agency. I mean, the Raiders have not drafted – anybody of real consequence outside of maybe Josh Jacobs and Max Crosby. And they have had a million picks coming over from the Mac deal. And they also just cut Tyrell Williams, another guy, by the way, who they paid a fortune to. The Raiders have screwed this up. And now a team that's supposedly on the rise now just cut three of their five starting offensive linemen and are still trying to figure out all these different cap hits they're going to be eating here. Not good. Not good if you're a fan of the team in Vegas.
I love that you brought up Nick Kwiatkowski, who my Bears post-game show partners, Dan Hampton and Ed Obradovich specifically, good old number 87, 1963 world champion Ed Obradovich, who doesn't necessarily get guys' names right all the time. Kwiatkowski, he was so upset when Kwiatkowski left for the Raiders. And he started out the season playing very well, but definitely tailored off, for the record. Quick time out. Stay with us. You are listening to Stacking the Box. Okay, let's move on here into the future. And we've been talking about this pretty much every week here, the leagues and the cap figure. And I guess you're hearing, and the news being reported, $183 million roughly, which is going to have a big-time effect.
Yeah, so I talked to a GM about this last week, who said, look, we can start making moves now. We can start cutting guys, tagging guys, whatever we got to do, because we understand that the cap is going to roughly be about $183 million. Now, I phrased it in a certain way because this cap stuff can change day to day with TV deals and everything else. But as of late last week, the thought was, at least from this GM, 183 was about where this thing was going to land. I have had agents give me ranges from 180 to 185. So 183 sounds reasonable. Now, I'm thinking the cap's going to come out today because the tag deadline is now. I think teams need to know. I have a feeling the teams would also agree with that one GM. They probably have a pretty good idea. So let's make it final. I think it matters. It's important for a lot of these teams. We're trying to get to that threshold. And I'll tell you what, if it ends up being 183, you're going to have guys taking a proverbial bath in free agency if they're not top-tier players. A lot of one-year deals, a lot of deals that you're going to go, wow, they got that guy for that amount of money? It's going to happen all over the league.
Well, but it's not a huge surprise that it's landing here, is it? Am I missing something?
No, okay. It's not. But I think there was hope once the TV deals really got hot and heavy over the last month that they might be able to keep it flat. And if it's 183, it's nowhere near flat. It's $15 million less. And a lot of these teams just, they're not going to have money. They're just not going to have much. You're going to have a lot. I mean, you're still going to have the same amount of guys hitting free. In fact, you're going to have more guys hitting free agency than you normally would because there's more cuts, but nobody's going to have any money. It's going to be very interesting.
But everybody always gets creative and they figure out ways to do it and kick the can down the road. It's the way of the NFL. So I'm not saying you're wrong, but if you really want to figure it out, most times NFL teams figure it out. I mean, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes, but this year is different in this. Like, what you're going to have to do, if you sign a guy to a 2-year or 3-year deal, the cap hit's going to be really, really low this year and big the couple of years right after, which is fine. That's normal. The problem's going to be if you're trying to sign a guy to a 1-year deal, all that money's in 1 year. That's right. Where the problem is. Those 1-year, $10 million deal, that ain't happening. Like, it's just not, what the player's going to be forced into is either 1 year and like $3 million or 2 and 12, but 2 of it's this year. 10 of it's next year, and a lot of it next year is not going to be guaranteed because these teams aren't going to be pigeonholed into paying some guy $10 million next year.
Just to all the people at Minute Media and FanSided, if you want to pay me huge next year and less this year, I'm in. That's that. I will make that deal right
to the cap.
Yeah, but thank you very much. All right, so as we look then a little deeper at this offseason, I guess your theory is that a lot of the good teams may be able to get values that they wouldn't have gotten before, so you can tweak your roster with good players at a discount, and all of a sudden, now you've got a playoff team that was on the verge of doing something special who maybe can get push themselves over the top in years that they wouldn't be able to do, i.e. Green Bay maybe.
All right, yeah, so I'll be brief with this. I think teams that are good teams, contending teams, top quarter of the league, they're at a huge advantage this offseason. Because if you're, let's just say you're a receiver and you're not one of the top guys. You might say, look, I'll take 1 year and $4 million, $5 million, because that's probably about the best I can get. I'll go play with the Packers. I'll go play with the Chiefs. I'll go play with Seattle because I'm going to play in primetime half the season. And I'm going to have a million catches for a bunch of yards and touchdowns because of who the quarterbacks are. I think you are going to see good teams get these types of breaks because agents will tell you, yeah, it absolutely matters how often you play in prime time. It absolutely matters if you're going to be a playoff team because it gives my guy more exposure. And so I'm not saying you're going to take, 70% of what you could get from another team, but if it's close, yeah, you always see these guys, these veterans players, especially guys.
How do you make a radio ad for an 8K TV that conveys the feeling of 33 million pixels with over a billion shades of color hitting your eyeballs? This is the best we can do. Samsung Neo QLED 8K. Unreasonably good.
I haven't won. Hey, I'll go play for this team because I want to win and maybe get a little exposure and get one more deal out of it. I think you're going to see a lot of that this offseason.
Well, plus, aside from the playing in the playoffs and whatnot, you make the right call and go to Green Bay in that situation and put up huge numbers, period. You might get that big payout. Who knows? Who do you think is positioned in the best spot right now? Make a huge play.
So I think there's two teams I'm watching. And one of them, they're both contingent on quarterbacks, but I think New England and Washington are two teams. They both have a lot of money. Washington has been a place nobody's wanted to go to for years, but Ron Rivera now is there, and that matters. Players want to play for Ron Rivera, and he's the adult in the room now. New England, not a lot of guys always want to go play for Belichick, but they're going to win, okay? They have the third most cap space in the NFL. They are going to use the money, okay? Trent Brown just went there. They can go out and get some of these receivers. I would expect they're heavy on rushers, pass rushers, heavy on receivers, maybe even get into Hunter Henry, who's going to hit the market. My understanding, talking to one source in the league, is Henry's looking for about $13 million a year, which would make him the third richest tight end per annual value behind Kittle and Kelsey. I'll be blunt. I don't think he's worth that amount of money. He's hurt too often for my taste, but do I think he's worth about 10 or 11? Yeah, probably. And he might get 13 because there's nobody else out there, although Zach Ertz is going to get cut or traded. And so he's going to be out there. I've been reporting for over a year now that he was going to get moved. Last year was going to be his last year in Philly because when they started to have extension talks in August, those talks went absolutely nowhere. I think the Pats still are really interesting. The other team I'd look at, the Colts. Colts have some money. They've already gotten Wentz. The one other team, real quick, that actually has some money and already has a quarterback is Cleveland. Cleveland has some money to play with and has the quarterback. Now, they're going to have to extend Mayfield. I don't know what's going on with Beckham, but they've got money. So I'd keep an eye on those teams.
I'm really interested. Hello, New York Jets. What are you going to do here? You've got a great opportunity to do something in the draft. What's going on with Sam Darnold? What's your play going to be there? There's a lot of guys out there that they could, you know, obviously make a move for to uplift their defense. If they make the right choice with the quarterback going forward, the Jets actually could make a significant leap here. Not as hard to do when you're at the bottom as far down there, but the Jets to me are kind of in an interesting spot here. And also, like, how do you, you know, I'm looking at teams on the bottom here. Cincinnati, how are you going to actually, you have assuming that Joe Burrow comes back and is healthy, you know, how are you going to build that roster around him to make them a lot more legitimate? Because you do have, I mean, I'm still bullish on Burrow being a superstar in this league. In Cincinnati, how are you going to make choices to actually make that thing work and not get him killed like you did last year? Speaking of the Jets, by the way, what do you think is going to happen with Sam Darnold?
We talked about it yesterday. Kyle Brandt says that they'll keep him, or at least he thinks they'll keep him. I think they're going to trade him. I just think it's too broken at this point. And you can get Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or Trey Lance at number two. If you really like any of those guys, you got to take them. Now, if you don't like any of them, you're not in love with them, fine, then keep Darnold. But if they like any of them, to me, I think the Jets have to go and make the move and get a top 50 to 100 pick back for Darnold and then use that to help continue to build around your new rookie quarterback. I think you got a new coach, relatively new GM, who didn't pick Darnold. I think Darnold's out.
So who wants Sam Darnold?
Bears.
See, people keep saying the Bears, right? But it's like, are the Bears really going to go after a quarterback who was generally broken in New York and all of a sudden Chicago is the place that fixes guys when you certainly didn't help out Mitchell Trubisky in any way? Nick Foles got worse. So, and you've got huge pressure on, you have to win right now or else Pace and Nagy are getting fired. Like, Chicago does not make a whole lot of sense to me.
I hear you. Look, I would say this.
But where does he fit? Like New England? Bill?
They'd never send him there. I don't know. I mean, Philly is a backup, like competing with Hurts. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second.
And then we got Jeffrey Lurie saying that they
apparently that there's no which.
Yeah.
Okay. listen, I mean, I'll tell you what, I can see Minnesota saying, hey, you know, we'll bring him in and like he can sit behind Kirk for a year and then.
That's not bad.
You know, I mean, the Saints.
That's not bad either.
You know, hey, if Taysom Hill sucks. Now, look, but here's one thing I'll say real quick on this. I never understood the Wentz deal, other than the fact he has to have a relationship with Reich and everything else. But, like, from a purely, like, the way he's played football, he has been awful. Awful. And he's getting paid a fortune for years on end. I would much rather have Darnold or Gardner Minshew. Like,
ditto.
Much rather. And I get killed by people every time I say this. I would much rather have Gardner Minshew on a rookie deal for years than Carson Wentz, who, let's go over this real quick. Got hurt, having a great year. Has never approached that same level of success since. Okay? I don't care that he's going to go back with Frank Reich. Like, that's fine. Maybe it helps him. But this idea that he's going to go to Indy and be the MVP again is just crazy to me. Like, there's no reason to think that. And then on top of that, he's getting paid a fortune and bitched all day and half the night to get out of Philadelphia when he got benched. And rightfully so got benched. Okay? If you said to me, would you rather have that or Gardner Minshew for literally like a 20th of the cost? Gardner right. Minshew all day, who, by the way, his teammates love. Like, I would take Gardner Minshew.
Right. That's the thing. And Gardner Minshew is getting no discussion. 37 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
On Jacksonville.
On Jacksonville.
They're an awful team. The guy, it's crazy.
And I get it. He's 6 feet tall. He's not, which is short. He's not super fast. The dude is an accurate quarterback. He has a lot of games where he goes 22 of 25. And to your point, this is a guy who lives with roommates. He's beloved by his teammates. He's like, it almost feels like he could be like a Ryan Fitzpatrick clone. Like somebody can, he's going to hang in the league till he's 40 and have.
Yeah, like I don't think he's going to be great. Like don't get me, I'm not selling him as like an all-pro, but like, do I think he could be Derek Carr at some point in his career? It's possible, is it not? Like, I mean, could he be Ryan Tannehill at some point? Like, maybe not. Maybe he doesn't get there, but to me, my God, like, I think he's got a better chance of doing that than Carson Wentz does.
And Sam Darnold, he played on the New York Jets. This was a consensus top five pick. He's 23 years old. In the right situation, somebody can unlock Sam Darnold. I don't think the NFL was that bad at scouting him. Although maybe they were. People, that these things do happen.
But I think he's got talent. I don't think he'd be. I don't think he's gonna be great. I think he's got talent. I really do.
Yeah. All right. In or out? No free agents get $100 million this offseason. We're obviously not including Dak in that. So what do you think, Verderam? $100 million.
Dak not included, obviously. These guys should get to the market. I think it's possible if Shaq Barrett gets to the market. Because now the Bucks have tagged Godwin. So if Barrett gets to market, he would have a shot. Like I could see him getting that 5 and 100 type deal. I could see that. I don't know that anybody else gets there. You know, I thought about this. Like if Robinson got to the market, would he get that?
No.
I don't think he does. Like he's really, really good, but I don't think he gets that. Especially in this climate, which is another thing you gotta factor in. Like Trent Williams is probably he is the best tackle, but I don't think like he's 33. He's not getting $100 million. No way. Galladay's really good. He's not getting that. Barrett to me is the only guy I think has a shot at that. And Gakwe, I think could have maybe if he had hit the market a year ago, not now. Barrett's it for me. And that's a maybe.
Did you mention Leonard Williams, who's also not getting $100 million?
Leonard Williams, you're right. He's great, but he's not getting that. No way.
And neither is, did Brandon Scherff get paid yet? Did I miss that?
He didn't. Probably going to get tagged, but even he's a guard. Like none of these guys, right. Barrett to me is the only one who has a real legitimate, he could get there.
Yep. I would agree, but Tampa and you're going to not allow that to happen. I would think, come on. I mean, did anybody watch the Super Bowl? The Saints.
I think it'd be crazy.
Yeah. The Saints should just blow it up and fix the cap in or out. By the way, I'm no free agents get $100 million. I'm in on that. No, the Saints should just blow it up and fix the cap in or out. I'll start on this with Verb. Depending on how the quarterback wheel spins and Dak staying in Dallas, not nobody really expected him to move, but that was a blow because there was at least a little bit of thought process that perhaps you could start seeing some things spin around if for some reason the Cowboys went crazy. But in the case that like somehow Seattle finds someone just decides to deal Russell Wilson, which would be crazy. Pete Carroll, you've lost your mind. I could see like a quarterback spinning to New Orleans other than Jameis and or Taysom Hill. But other than that, this is a long answer to yes, I'm in. They should blow it up and fix the cap.
I'm in on it. Like, I get it. I get the whole, like, well, you know, they're still a talented team. Who's your quarterback? Like, and don't start. Taysom Hill. Like, look, he's fun. He's fun. Taysom Hill's not winning the Super Bowl. Okay. And now, guess what? Now you're the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins because you're in a division with Brady, who I honestly am starting to think might play at least 50. Like, I really think we're approaching the point now you start looking at him and going, is he ever going to retire? Is he ever going to stop playing? If I were the Saints, I would be looking at, okay, can we trade Michael Thomas for a couple of good picks? Can we trade some of these other guys for a couple? Can we trade Kamara before he goes off a cliff? Like, now you'd have to eat a lot of cap. I get it, but you're already paying a fortune. And I'm not even saying it has to all happen now, but within the next 18 months, I'd be thinking about it because to me, that team more than any has pushed so much money down the road. You pay for it at some point. It's coming. and they have just been going and going. I mean, they are literally at some points in this offseason, 80 plus million over the cap. I would consider, yes, mostly blowing it up and trying to reset financially.
Two to go here. Smart move by Philly and Jeffrey Lurie, specifically their owner. Hey, Howie Rosen, we are turning the franchise over to Jalen Hurts. That's right. In or out?
I think it's dumb. Like, why? Like, look, and not because I don't like Hurts. I actually think he's interesting. But why come out and say that? Like, just like, let teams think you might take a quarterback. You know, let teams think that. And then, hell, maybe actually evaluate and think about it. I talked to a source around that team who would certainly know, you know, some of the thought processes go on in that building. And I was told right after the Wentz trade, yeah, they're still absolutely open to taking a quarterback at six. And, you know, they like Hurts, but they're not like over the moon sold on him yet. It seems like Lurie's just coming in hot for no real reason here. Like, I don't get it. What is the upside of doing that?
I don't know. It's, to me, it's like a save face Carson. We've got this guy and there's a reason why.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah. I don't know. Listen, since when has Jalen Hurts earned, he's our franchise quarterback. If you like somebody at six, I mean, if they don't, okay, cool. But let's keep the mind open here. And maybe even if you don't like somebody at six, maybe you can even move up to number two. Hey, we'll give you the six and Hurts. We want to come up to two. I doubt that's enough, but if you really like someone, maybe you would consider doing something like that. I think you gotta be open to what is possible if you're Philadelphia. And maybe the best thing is Jalen Hurts, but just saying like, this is our guy seems a bit absurd. The Jaguars should entertain someone other than Trevor Lawrence. I'm out on this. And it's interesting that you're putting in there. Are you down on Trevor?
No, I'm out as well. But I've seen people say, well, you know, they should talk to Zach Wilson and really, really consider him. Stop. Like, you know, sometimes people have this thing in life where it's like, here, on one side of the table is $1 million. On the other side of the table is a box. Thoughts? And you will have people sit there and look at the box and be like, you know, there could be $1,000,001 in there. There could be, like, take the $1 million. Just take the damn money. And with Jacksonville, you hear these people like, well, you know, they might be thinking about this guy. It's lying season. There's a lot of smokescreen crap. Whatever. I get all that. But I'm just saying, you hear that stuff. Like, well, you know, they might be looking. They really like Zach. Well, I don't care. I don't care. Like, this is not where everyone's like, well, they're all equal. They're not all equal. One guy has been, like, predetermined as the number one pick here for the last 3 years. Okay? And wins every game he's ever in. And now you're thinking about the guy at BYU. Like, not, and Zach Wilson might be great, but like, you take Trevor Lawrence here. You don't even think about it. You take Trevor Lawrence.
What's the movie with the blue and the red pill and Lawrence Fishburne? And
no idea, but I'm sure it's an accurate.
Progressive's Home Quote Explorer lets you easily compare our direct rates with multiple companies. Now that we've covered something you could do, it's time for sports stuff you definitely could not do.
If you were head coach, you would not have gone for it on fourth down. Your confidence in your play calling ability might be a little overblown, considering you're barely confident in which restaurant to order takeout from, let alone choosing a play in front of 70,000 screaming fans.
But you definitely can use Progressive's Home Quote Explorer to easily compare rates. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Bailey, you know what I'm talking about? You can jump on here. I feel like he definitely does. But you can choose this path in your life or you can choose that path. If we're talking just in football terms, hey, you can draft the guy who threw 28 touchdown passes and two interceptions and beat Alabama in the national championship game, or you can roll the dice on the guy that you think might even be better than that and draft the dude who went 8-5 at North Carolina and lost in the Sun Bowl to who they lost to. You draft Deshaun Watson, you idiot. You don't take you don't draft Mitchell Trubisky because you think you're the genius in the room. So it's the same thing here with Trevor. Let's not get crazy. You take the consensus best player.
No one's getting fired for taking Trevor Lawrence, no matter how it plays out. Everybody's getting fired if you pass on Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones ends up being the pick and becomes, I don't know, Baker Mayfield. Okay. Like, everybody's fired. It's Trevor Lawrence that goes to the Jets and becomes what everybody thinks Trevor Lawrence is going to be. So you can't pass on him.
The movie that I wasn't thinking of after my searches is The Matrix. I knew it wasn't. I just, for some reason, was afraid to say it. All right. Verem, good stuff. Good to be with you today. Thank you for listening to Stacking the Box. We really, really appreciate it when you give comments and or a rating. 5 stars, always the most appreciated. But hey, if you hated this podcast, you can say that too. But we appreciate you listening nonetheless. What's going on in your world, Matt Verem? I've got a tennis thing for you today.
I'll tell you what's going on. It's 61 degrees. I went out and got my mail in flip flops. Okay, it's gorgeous. The 18 feet of snow we were buried under is now melted off my property. There's only a tiny little bit left on the end of the driveway, which will be gone, I'm sure, by the end of the day. It is wonderful. I'm so glad. I'll tell you what, a couple weeks ago, man, it was rough. I had a little bit of like a time. I was like legitimately just kind of down because the weather sucked. Tons of snow, bitter cold up here and up in Illinois. And then on top of that, COVID and everything else. Now it seems like all corners being turned. We got daylight savings here on Saturday. I'm happy about that. We got snow melting and the temperature rising. We got vaccines out the wazoo. It seems like maybe by Memorial Day weekend here, we'll be in a spot here to pretty much live our lives. So I'm excited. I'm happy. Things are good.
Worm is turning. All right. Tennis etiquette for me on the leaving the podcast. And Verem, you might not know this, but when you play tennis in a public tennis facility at your local park and you're walking onto the court and somebody on the court in front of you is playing, you wait for the point to finish before you walk across. Do you follow this when you walk on the tennis court? Now that you ever walk on the tennis court, would you know to do that?
I did not, but it's also because I've never played tennis outside of like gym class in high school.
Right. So for the people just like you who've never played tennis outside of gym class, you wait for the point to end. Just because you're behind it, you are interrupting. Now, where I'm a hypocrite on this, Verderam, if I walk onto the tennis court and I see you playing somebody else who only played tennis in high school, I don't care because you're so bad that I just straight dog my own rule here. So
you should hit those people with the tennis racket.
Right. Like, well, no, I think it's great that you're learning the sport, but you have not earned.
No, they're taking up court time.
Right. That's true. You don't get to, you need to play between the hours of 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. on a Monday through Thursday. Yeah. You're not even, you know, Saturdays and Sundays you're out. So yesterday I just was like, I get so mad when people walk in. Do you not see that I'm playing here? Do you understand this is a legitimate match? This is the U.S. Open right here. But then I do this. But then I see somebody who can't play and I'm like, fuck you.
Maybe they think that about you.
No, I mean, that's true. That's the other thing. Like,
which is a disrespect.
And that'd be fine. Like if John McEnroe walked through my court, if Rafa walked past, or even a college level tennis player looked at me like, you stink. I could accept that. But the weekend guy who can't do anything and you walk past, no, I can't accept it. So
I'm not. Hey, listen, I have never seen you play tennis, but I've heard that you're quite good, to be fair to you. I'm just throwing out this. No, devil's advocate.
I'm a decent, okay player. I'm nothing special here.
How fast that serve, Carmen? Don't tell me I don't know.
Oh, I have no idea. But the serve is not the speed at when you get to your 40s, Verderam. It's where how accurate is it? How often do you put it in there? Can I serve it consistently to your backhand? Because you're not very good on that side.
I am always amazed. I don't play tennis. Like I said, I mean, really, I have probably played like 12 times in my entire life. And played is a strong word. But I do like watching the majors. And I am always blown away when, you know, you get a good volley. It doesn't matter, men's or women's. Although I guess even men's in some regard for this, just because of the sheer speed of it. But like guys will be going, you know, a couple of right-handed players, a couple of forehand shots. And some guy just squares up and just ropes one like down the line. And you're like, there's no way in God's name I'd be able to square the ball up And like, it's not like you're just directing it. I mean, just rip it off the chalk down the line. And you're like, yeah, man, I like what, like how and God, especially backhanded. That even blows me away more.
I'm gonna send you a YouTube clip that's 90 seconds long of a practice point that I want you to watch after this podcast that you'll enjoy. These guys are, Raf is just completely and utterly insane. All right, good stuff today. Congrats. The NBA All-Star break came through. Your Knicks got a lot of discussion, and we're looking forward to the second half of the season. So I'm sure we'll get a Knicks check-in here on what's going on in the coming weeks. Thank you again for listening to Stack in the Box. Verderam, good to be with you. Enjoy the Minute Media Summit. I know you got a big afternoon coming up here.
Absolutely huge. Can't wait. Take care.
We'll see you guys.
Underdog Fantasy is the fastest growing fantasy app and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Just jump on underdogfantasy.com or download the app, draft your team, and that's it. And if drafts aren't your thing, they also have a pick'em game where you can win 20 times your money in a single night. Use promo code RADIO, and Underdog will double your first deposit when you sign up with up to $100 in bonus cash. Deposit $100, get $100 free. That's promo code RADIO. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.